Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate and they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU talks to those local leaders who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Kyle Deaver, representative for District 5 on the Waco City Council. Hosting the conversation is KWBU reporter Carlos Morales. This program was recorded May 27th, 2015 at the KWBU studio. Welcome to the Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm talking with Kyle Deaver, who was just recently reelected to serve District 5 on the Waco City Council. Kyle, thank you for talking to us today.
Glad to be here, Carlos. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background? You were born here in Waco, born and raised?
Well, not born, but raised. My parents were from here, but my mom and dad both went to Baylor University, and my dad was an ROTC student here on a scholarship with ROTC and the Air Force. So right after graduation, they married and went to Clovis, New Mexico for him to serve his ROTC time. And I was actually born at the Air Force Base in Clovis, but we got back here when I was about 2 years old, and I've been here most of the time since then.
Okay.
So I did grow up here in Waco and went to both public school and St. Paul's day school for elementary school, and then attended Vanguard College Preparatory School and Richfield High School here in town. Went on from there to Baylor University and got my business degree. Worked for KWTX TV selling advertising for about 4 years, and then went back to law school. And since law school, my brother and I have John Deaver is my brother, and the two of us have practiced law together since then, and are involved in a couple of businesses. One being American Bank, and then American Guarantee Title. And we recently sold the Harley dealership, which we had together for about 11 years. But we are now focused on the bank and the title company and our law practice and several other smaller things.
So, you know, going back to growing up in Waco, what was life like here in Waco, and what did you do as a kid?
You know, I guess it was, I think everybody remembers their childhood as being a slower pace than it is now. I think that's certainly true. We weren't as programmed as our kids are now in terms of having lessons and teams and something filling every waking moment. I just remember playing a lot of basketball in the backyard with my brother and with friends. You know, we were involved in Indian guides with our dad, and just going to school. And we were involved in Seventh and James Baptist Church at that time. My parents are still there, and I grew up in that church. So, you know, a lot of Wednesday evenings and Sundays at church, but it was definitely a little bit more casual and slow paced at that time.
And you said you did Indian guides. Exactly? What's that?
Indian guides was a program, and I think they still have it. So it's a program that is sponsored by the YMCA, and there are also Indian princesses for girls. But it's really a program where boys and their dads get together, and you do crafts and you do leadership stuff and do campouts. And it's sort of, I won't say it's like the Boy Scouts, because it's certainly not as structured and not as large and as successful a program as the Boy Scouts. The main difference was that you were always doing it with your dad, as opposed to the Boy Scouts tend to do it more in groups with one or two leaders. The dads were always present for these things, so that was a fun time for us. I think I was Little Eagle and my dad was Big Eagle, and I cannot remember what my brother's name was. But you know, we made tom-toms and we went on some campouts and things like that. It was pretty fun.
Oh, very neat. Yeah. Very neat. Yeah. Sounds like a great childhood.
It was. I did have a great childhood here.
And you know, talking about school, what were some of the, you know, activities that you mentioned? Playing basketball in the backyard. Did you play basketball at any of the schools?
Yeah, I did. I played basketball. I was just terrible at it when I started, but by the time I was in high school, I had gotten where I never did have a lot of talent, but I worked really hard at it, and I loved it. I loved to play high school basketball. And we started soccer here in Waco, I started playing soccer when I was in like the fifth grade, and there weren't many teams. It was a pretty new sport in America at that time, and certainly in Waco it was pretty new. But that was a fun time, and Vanguard had a pretty good soccer team. We would travel around. They even went down to Mexico to Monterey and played, and I missed that trip. But we had a team that had some really good players, and that was a fun experience, and led me to later coach soccer for my kids. My brother and I coached together with both my son and then my daughter and then his daughter. They're all kind of staggered about 3 years apart, so we did that for a long time at the Heart of Texas Soccer Association, and that was a great experience being with our kids and their friends and getting to work through that.
So you no longer do that?
No, that time has kind of passed, and I drive by the soccer fields, and I'm so glad to have done that, and so glad that it's over because that was a huge time. Consuming activity, but it was great.
Yeah, and so you mentioned both your parents went to Baylor, right?
Right. Right.
So growing up, did you kind of have the almost sense of obligation that you had to go to Baylor too?
Not at all, really. But I, of course, we went to all the Baylor football games and all the Baylor basketball games, and we suffered through most of that because they were pretty bad most of that time, and we had a few bright spots, both in football and basketball, but. Compared to where it is now, it certainly makes you appreciate where we are now and all the sports at Baylor. It makes it a lot more fun. But no, my parents were certainly happy for me to have gone anywhere. And I, at one time when I applied for college, I looked at Rice and I looked at A&M and I looked at Baylor. And I was looking at A&M and Rice for either an engineering or architecture degree, and when I decided to do business, I couldn't really see any reason not to go to Baylor. I had a great business school, and it was a good fit, so we stayed here.
Yeah. So you mentioned you were looking at Rice and A&M for possibly architecture. What made you? So there were several things you were thinking of doing.
Yeah. And I don't know what eventually led me into just going into business. I didn't really have – I mean, my role models were my dad and my grandfather in business. I didn't really have a strong role model that led me to think hard about architecture or engineering. And those are two pretty different degrees and different professions. But I always enjoyed the geometry and the mathematical side of things. And so I thought I would like to design in either engineering or architecture. But I think just being around business all my life was the thing that kind of led me to go on down that road. And certainly had never had any thoughts about going to law school. That was a later in life decision. So that was a good one, but it was very different from what I thought I would be doing when I was growing up.
What were some of your earliest memories of business and being involved with business?
I started selling Christmas cards and greeting cards when I was about probably 9 or 10 years old. I remember I wanted a camera, and I figured out that I needed to raise the money to make the money and save the money to buy this camera. And in the back of comic books back then, there were ads for these greeting card companies. And so I sent in the deal and got the kit and got on my bicycle and rode around the neighborhood and knocked on doors and sold cards. And, they were customized or Christmas cards with your name imprinted on them. Mm-hmm. And they were pretty nice. It was a huge pain for my mother, who had to sort out the orders and who was supposed to be getting what and who had paid for what. And that was my first entrepreneurial experience, and I really liked it. I mean, I liked going out and meeting people. I liked making the money. I liked knowing I had a little bit of money, and that was all good. And then I just, I always had a job. I mowed the yard at the TV station when I was. I would ride my bike up there, and the TV station used to be across the street from the Heart of Texas Coliseum, which is now Extraco Center. It's now a funeral home, but it had a huge yard, And it would take me like all week to mow it, and then I'd have to start over again. So I remember pushing the edger down Bosque Boulevard and being afraid I was going to get run over or hit a car with a rock. And so I was way too young to be doing that, but they let me do it anyway. So I've always done that. I've always worked and liked it, and it never seemed to me to be something that I wouldn't want to do.
So did you get the camera?
I did get the camera, and I still like to take pictures. that's been a hobby of mine ever since then. And that was one that, interestingly, one of the people who sort of led me into being a public servant was Virginia Dupuy, who was the former mayor of Waco.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was the art teacher at St. Paul's when I was there, and I was good friends and am good friends with her son, Kerry. And her older son, Carr, but Carrie and I went to school together, and she taught me photography at a very early age, probably, I don't know, third or fourth grade. We had a dark room there at the school, and that was, so she's the one that got me into that, and then also sort of, she appointed me to the plan commission and got me started with in city government for at Waco.
So what were some of the other lessons you took away from her that kind of inspired you?
She was always an inspiration. And even more so, you know, as she took over leadership positions in the city. But when she was our art teacher, and she was our drama teacher for a while, and she was just always extremely creative, always very kind, and would encourage you to do your best and to try new things. And she was one of my favorite teachers that I had, and I had her when I was pretty young, but she was great.
And, you know, going back to, you know, your time at Baylor, were you involved in any extracurricular activities? How was your time during Baylor?
I was involved in a fraternity. I was an SAE at Baylor, and, you know, I had a great time doing that and learned an awful lot from that. You know, fraternities get a bad rap in a lot of cases, and SAE has gotten a bad rap in several cases recently. And that's really unfortunate, because for the most part, it's a really good thing. And, you know, I held leadership positions there. I was president of the chapter and held a lot of other offices before I got to that point. But that is one thing that it allows you to do, is to learn how to develop leadership skills. And, you know, we did a lot of great projects, and we played intramural sports, and that was great fun. So it was I certainly wasn't good enough to play on any of the teams for Baylor, but playing intramurals at Baylor was one of my favorite experiences of going to school there.
And when do you think, I know earlier you said law school wasn't really on the map at the time, but when do you think that kind of kicked in, and when did you find yourself kind of carving that path to law school?
Well, my brother, who is 3 years younger and 2 years behind me in school, went to Baylor after I did, obviously, and we were there at the same time. He was an acting major at Baylor, and he went straight into law school after he graduated. And so he was probably late in his first year or early in his second year when my grandfather encouraged me to go back to law school. And even then I thought, I can't do that. By then I was married. I had a young son, and my wife had stopped working to raise our kids, mm-hmm. our son at that point. And I just couldn't figure out how that was going to work. My grandfather helped me and made it possible for me to do that, and I'll always be grateful for that. But that was really his vision more than mine, and he thought that a legal education, whether you ended up being a practicing lawyer or not, was just an invaluable thing to have. And I now agree with him. I mean, I think that's the process that they take you through at Baylor Law School, and I can't speak for other law schools, but I'm sure to a certain extent it's the same. The Socratic method and the way that they teach you to reason things out and find solutions is just a great skill to have.
So you had been out of school for a while before you decided to go back. Do you know how many?
Yeah, I was out working. I worked for about 4 years at the TV station. I sold commercial advertising for KWTX, and you know, that was a challenging job. I mean, I really liked it, but I sort of felt like I was reaching the point where I wasn't progressing much further.
Mm-hmm.
But I was making a good living for myself and for my family. And so there was a lot of stress about whether to think about going back to school or what to do. But I'm glad I made that move, because it's allowed me to work with my brother, which has been a wonderful experience. And it's given me access to things that I wouldn't have had access to otherwise. But when I finished Baylor undergrad, I never had any intention of going back into a classroom. But after you've worked for a while and you know what it is to work a full day every day, I just treated law school like a job. And that's what I worked, went into class, I studied all afternoon, and then by the evenings I was able to spend that with my wife and kid, with wife and son, and then we had our daughter while we were in law school. And so we just kind of had our family experience in the evenings and on weekends, and I treated it like a job, and it worked pretty well.
And that's so when you graduated law school, this is
1993,
you graduated law school.
Yeah.
So coming out of law school, did you and your brother just kind of like joke and toy with the idea of like, oh, we'll just start something together? Was that kind of the idea? Or?
Yeah, I had clerked with a firm in Dallas and one in Austin, and got an offer to go to Dallas, but I just never really have wanted to leave Waco for any period of time. I mean, my wife and I spent 6 weeks up there, and we spent 6 weeks in Austin, and I love those cities, and they're great places to visit. But Waco is a great place to live, and I love being able to be here and go to those places when I want to go there without having to deal with all the hassles of being in a big city, which both of those are now. You know, I think the other thing is, by that time, we really had put our roots down here. Mm-hmm. And so I love the fact that in Waco you can make a difference. You can serve on nonprofit boards, you can volunteer, and you can make a difference in a city the size of Waco, where it's much more difficult to feel the impact that you're making in a bigger city. It's not that you can't do good things, but it's just harder to see the impact when you're in a bigger place. So that's you know, that is one thing I love about being here, and didn't want to leave that.
About when was it? Do you think that you started getting, civically involved in, you know, things around town? And when did you get these aspirations of maybe joining the council?
You know, we got involved. We were involved as soon as we got out of school. My wife and I became involved very quickly. And she's been on boards and she's volunteered, and I have been on boards and volunteered. The first thing that I can remember doing together was the March of Dimes. They did a walk for kids, and there was a lady that got us involved in that, and we worked on that for a couple of years together, and really enjoyed that. And then I got on the zoo board, and this was before the Cameron Park Zoo was built. The zoo was still out at the out by the airport, and it was just, you know, they did the best they could with the facility, but the facility was really bad, and it was old and dated, and it was the old bars, you know, bars and concrete,
right.
And you know, it just wasn't a very nice place to visit, and it wasn't a very nice place for animals. And a group of people had come up with the idea at that point of building the zoo at Cameron Park. And so I had the good fortune of being on the board when all of that happened. And that was sort of inspirational, you know, to see the kind of change that brought to our city. That involved a bond election, which was, you know, that's never easy to communicate well enough with the public for them to buy in and vote for it. But they did. And as a result, we now have, you know, one of the best zoos in the country. And so that, I think, I hadn't really thought about that till today, but I do think that probably inspired me to see what kind of change can be made with a lot of dedicated people working together and pulling in one direction on a project. But I've done a number of, nonprofit jobs. I really had not thought about getting involved in city politics, and or even on a city board or commission until Virginia Dupuy mm-hmm. asked me to do the plan commission work, and I enjoyed that. There's a lot of responsibility in the plan commission, and a lot of people don't know what all is done there. But people, people come to the plan commission with ideas, things that they want to do with their property that it's not currently zoned for or permitted for, and it's up to that commission to make a recommendation to the city council about whether that property zoning and or land use should be changed mm-hmm. to meet what this person is wanting to do. And so that started kind of gave me a glimpse into how the city worked. But then, I still had not ever had any thoughts about being on the council. That came up when Mayor Duncan was elected from District 5 to serve as mayor mm-hmm. and left the seat in District 5 open. And at that point, a friend of mine encouraged me to run for that spot, which really wasn't an election. It was a matter of interviewing with the council and asking them to appoint you for that position. And there were three of us that applied for that, and I was fortunate enough to be appointed. And it's been a great learning experience for the first couple of years at least, and continues to be a learning experience. I mean, we constantly have new issues that come up and new things we have to figure out. But we've got a great council. We've got six really dedicated people that want to do the best thing for the city. And, I think we have a council that works better together than many other cities in Texas. We are rarely at odds with each other. We may disagree about priorities, but we are able to come together and address each other's priorities and deal with them. And that's an enviable place to be, and I'm glad that we are there with our council.
Leading up to your friend suggesting that you fill Malcolm Duncan's mm-hmm. spot, when they asked you about it, did you have any doubts in your mind, or was it immediate?
Kind of need lots of doubts. Yes, I really questioned whether I was cut out for that. I don't really consider myself a politician, and I guess I am now. I really consider it to be a public servant. I don't have ambitions beyond city government. I really don't see myself doing that. My wife certainly doesn't see us doing that. She's threatened me with my life. But I don't have any ambitions there. I just want to see Waco be the best city it can be, and we are on such a great trajectory right now that I think it's a very exciting time. And that was probably one of the things that led me to want to do the job, was that we have such momentum in the city right now that I wanted to be able to be in on that and to help continue to steer that and build on that. But yes, I definitely had doubts about whether I was right for the job, whether I wanted to do the job. And I think most people do have doubts about whether they're right for that job, but I certainly did. But I feel like now I know a fair amount about how to get things done in the city. And again, we've got such a cooperative group on the council that if you can articulate the need for something, the rest of the council will work with you to try to get it done. And that's a great situation for our city. You're always constrained by funding, That's always a challenge. But the council will work with you to try to get it put together, and that's a great place to be.
So ultimately, your ability to have an influence and to help shape Waco to become, I guess, prosperous is what kind of led you to say, you know what, I'm going to go for this.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so when you were at that kind of crossroads deciding, you know, you had that on one hand, and did you also look back at your experience in law school and with the law firm to say, you know what, I do have this set of skills through the Socratic method and being able to reasoning. Was that kind of what the process was like?
I think yes. I mean, I you do kind of do a self-inventory and say, do I bring anything to this position? And I did feel like I had enough experience with business and with law to be able to help. And then there was a lot of soul searching and talking to my wife and my kids, my parents and my brother about whether I should do this. And, you know, it's been John carries a lot of the burden of me serving on city council because he ends up picking up some of the work that I should be doing in our law firm and for the bank and for our title company. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't recognize is the sacrifice that family and business associates give so that people can serve in these roles, because they're volunteer roles, and there are positives and negatives to that, but the thing that you know is that normally when people are going to run for these jobs, they're going to do it because they love the city, and they want to make it better. They're not doing it so that they can make a paycheck, and so that's the positive. The negative is there are some really good people that should serve in these roles that can't afford to because they can't afford to miss work. And they're in a job where they can't miss work. You know, fortunately, my job lets me set my hours and so I have the flexibility to do this kind of work.
And do you see it as something you'd like to continue doing, or do you think there's going to be ultimately one day?
Yeah, no, I there's definitely an end. I don't know how much longer I'll do it. I can see doing it for another, 4, 5, 6 years. I'll be ready for somebody else to have that opportunity at that point. I mean, I think it's important that you do have turnover in those positions. It's important that you have people stay there long enough to build a little bit of institutional memory and pass that on to the next generation, but I do think some turnover there is a good thing, and so I'm not going to do this for for the rest of my life for sure. I've got other things that I want to do with my family and with work, and we've got other things to do too.
And is that another one of the, I guess, drawbacks of being in this position? You know, you mentioned, you know, family time. Is it hard to make that adjustment?
Well, a little bit. And of course, our kids are at a good point now. I mean, my daughter recently graduated from Baylor. My son has been out for a while. He's married. It would be harder to do that job with small kids at home. I think you would, not that you couldn't do it, but it would definitely, it would be more difficult. My wife and I still find time to get together and I'd like to have a little more free time on weekends and that kind of thing. That ends up, you end up doing things that you don't realize you're going to be doing in these jobs when you sign up for them. But it's all good. I mean, I'm happy with where we are right now, and I think my family is too.
All right. And so growing up, you had, you know, these you looked up to your grandfather and your father, and those were your leaders. And now, do you feel like you've kind of become a leader yourself in the community?
That's hard to say. I mean, I think at this age, it's hard to know. I think you know that better looking back. I hope to know that better looking back at some point. Yeah. I don't really have that strong feeling right now. I don't know. We'll see.
Alrighty, Kyle. Well, I appreciate you coming in and talking with us today for the Central Texas Leadership Series.
You bet. Carlos, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks.